I'm in rehearsal rooms in a jazz vocalist workshop in New York, and the teacher is warming up the class. They're about to sing one of the most famous anthems of the American Civil Rights Movement songbook, "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free" by Billy Taylor. The students look a little worried. It's not an easy song to learn how to sing. In this program, you're going to hear this song quite a few times, but you're never going to hear it being sung in the same way twice. Covered by a host of artists in the past 50 years, "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free" was a favourite with the American civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm Candice Piette, and in this programme for the BBC World Service's season on freedom in 2014, I want to explore what it said about freedom in America then and whether it has the same power today.
This is the song that becomes an anthem, right? This is the song that, for some reason, captures the hearts and minds and footsteps of Americans across the country.
She would say, "Do you know?" "Yes, I know." "And do you know what it was like for Martin Luther King to get hit on the head and put in jail in Montgomery, Alabama?" That's what she would do with the audience.
There was an optimism in Billy Taylor's instrumental. It was a light. Yeah, we're going to do this. We can move this country forward.
Composer Billy Taylor died in 2010. He was one of the great pianists and jazz educators of his generation. In a series of TV and radio programs in the 50s and the 60s and 70s, he introduced the American public to jazz. He recorded "I Wish I Knew" in 1963, and it was released the following year.
"I'm Kim Taylor Thompson, and "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free" was written for me.
Kim Taylor Thompson is a law professor in New York, and we met in her parents' elegant New York apartment, surrounded by her father's photographs and awards.
I was about 7 or so. I was coming home from school, and I was singing a Negro spiritual that I had learned in school. And I was singing it with a lot of feeling and quite loud, apparently, but I was singing it all wrong. And so my dad came up to me and said that I was singing it wrong. And being the kind of kid that I was, I insisted that I was singing it correctly because the Catholic school nuns had taught it to me, and then that must be the right way to sing it. And that moment, according to him, inspired him to think about writing a song about freedom, a more contemporary Negro spiritual that reflected some of the thoughts that he had. And he wrote the song that became his signature song in the next 15 minutes.
Wow, so just at that moment, he just knocked it off. And the lyrics as well as the music.
The lyrics took a little bit longer, and he ended up writing most of it himself, but then brought in Dick Dallas to help him with some of the final touches on the lyrics. He grew up in the South in the U.S. and grew up at a time where segregation was really quite visible and ugly. A lot of his travel as a musician required that he stay in hotels that were only for African Americans, and he couldn't go to the white hotels, even though he might have been performing in some of those places. So he had genuine experiences with what it meant to be a person of color in this country.
"I wish I knew how it feel to be free. Yes, sir. I wish I could break all of these chains. Oh, yes, that are really holding me. Wish I could say all the things I should say every day. Say I'm loud,
yeah.
Say I'm clear,
yeah.
For the whole wide world to hear."
The upbeatness of this song. It's also a political statement from your father, isn't it?
It is. He chose to write it with a feeling of the Black church, because I think he certainly came from that tradition. His grandfather was a minister who founded a church in Washington. But it was both church and political. It was a song that Dr. Martin Luther King really loved. The story that I remember about Dr. King, or that my dad told about Dr. King, was that at one point early on in the civil rights movement, my dad had traveled down to Alabama. There was a group of people that had organized to hear Dr. King speak, and they were going to march the next day. They were organized outside of a particular town, and there were all sorts of comments that were floating around that suggested that the people in the town were not happy with the fact that Dr. King was there, and there was going to be some violence. And so people were really quite nervous. People were gathered to hear music and to actually get themselves ready for the next day. And they had a stage where people were performing, and at one point the lights went out in the stage, and everybody started to panic. And Dr. King came to my dad and said, "We've got to calm people down. I need you to go up and play that churchy song for them, just so that people will be calm and get their minds off of what's going on." As you know from the song, it's a song that gets people's fingers snapping and feet going up and down. So people got into the song and enjoyed it and calmed down. All I want to hear, I wish I could share. How does it feel, Kim, to be the muse of such a beautiful and global song now? It is hugely humbling to think that, you know, by being the smart alecky kid that I was, that I could have inspired something that is such a beautiful song in and of itself. Then I'd sing, yes, I'd sing about freedom.
That was Solomon Burke, one of the most talented voices of early 60s soul. But it was when Nina Simone, a classically trained pianist, soul and jazz singer, recorded the song in 67 that it really took off. Black, savvy, highly intelligent and political, Nina gave I Wish I Knew a new twist when it became part of her repertoire during the American Civil Rights Campaign. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing. Guitarist Alvin Shachtman, you first worked with Nina Simone in 1957, and you worked with her for 43 years. We're here in your cattle ranch in New Mexico, where you live now, and it's certainly really cold out there. There's a strong wind, but the welcome and the fire is warm in here. When she started getting involved in sort of the civil rights movement, did it change her music and her approach to music?
I don't think it changed the approach. I think she was that way pretty much from the beginning. Once she started hitting, you know, the mainstream and becoming popular, it really came out. She was very adamant about her own people, as she would say, my own people, my people have to be better than everybody else. And at times on stage, and she would just suddenly yell out to everybody and admonish them, saying, you know, you want to be better. You know, you got to put on underarm deodorant, take a bath. I mean, those are her words. I mean, and people would be laughing. And then she said, I mean it. And she did mean it.
Now, she was a supporter of Martin Luther King, wasn't she?
She just admired him tremendously. And we went down to the March on Selma. So we landed in Montgomery and went over to the seminary and the festival grounds. And it was a soccer field. And there was this huge platform that was built with a curtain around the bottom of it and about 6 or 7 steps going up to it. Harry Belafonte was there with his group. And I walked up to the stage with my guitar, my amp, and Ralph McDonald, who was Harry's percussionist, was standing there. And I said, is there any place I can plug my amp in? And he said, oh, sure, brother, just lift up that curtain underneath. And I lifted up the curtain, and what I saw were coffins. And the stage had been built on coffins that were donated by the black mortuaries in town. And I freaked. I said, oh, boy, I hope, you know, one doesn't have my name on it. And so Nina and I did perform that night. And
you performed that song. What was the response?
It was uproar. They loved it. Everybody was screaming about it. It was so exciting. Everybody was so into it that we weren't thinking at all about being attacked or anything like that by, you know, a crowd coming on in. What we learned was that federal marshals were all over the place.
That march from Selma to Montgomery in 1965 in the southern state of Alabama was the last of 3. Civil rights protesters calling for equal voting rights had been attacked by police in earlier attempts. As the world watched, the protesters, this time under the protection of federal troops, finally achieved their goal, walking around the clock for 3 days to reach Montgomery. It was the big breakthrough. The Voting Rights Act was passed later that year.
In the song itself, it says, I wish I could get rid of the chains binding me. Are those emotional and mental chains as well, do you think, for Nina?
Absolutely. I think that we know that she struggled with manic depression all her life. And I really do think most of her life. It got worse, you know, as she went into middle age. But then there was, you know, new spectrums of medication were really very helpful.
Nina Simone felt racism and discrimination in the US was still rife, and she spent much of her professional life living abroad. In 1976, she performed I Wish I Knew at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland.
Like a bird in the sky, don't leave me.
Don't leave me.
How sweet it would be.
She's letting people, allowing people to hear her talking to herself.
To the sun.
Oh, I miss her.
For Alvin Shachtman, her performance, filmed at the time, was a hymn to anger and mental pain.
Wish I could break all things that bind us apart.
There. There's that anger.
What it means to be me. You'd see, you'd agree. Everybody should be free, because if we ain't, we're murderous.
Because if we ain't, we're murderous.
I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be. It's moving now.
A Of course, you can't talk about Nina Simone and the song I Wish without thinking of some of the great jazz venues in New York where she performed. I'm in Birdland off 44th Street, and there's the glowing stage, and under the soft spotlights, that's where Nina performed in the 60s. And I've come to meet Salamisha Tillett, Professor of English and Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania, who's writing a book on Nina Simone.
I think the song represents that kind of conundrum or that gap between the yearning for freedom and the yearning for belonging and the reality that racism is alive and well in certain corners of the United States. It's such a tender expression of what it means to be an American citizen at a time when there's a hopefulness on the horizon that maybe this freedom that we've been fighting for can be gained. But at the same time, it also speaks to the long journey that African Americans have had in the United States up until that point to become full citizens.
It's been updated in a sense by John Legend, who's a young singer becoming a big star. He covered it in an album where he was looking and exploring quite a few of these old songs and representing them to a modern young American audience. And you wrote the sleeve notes for the album. Why did he include this song on his album?
I think for John Legend, Nina Simone is a figure, like many of our generation, who is someone that we kind of aspire to be. For him, and also for Questlove, when they came up with the concept for this album, Wake Up, they really were trying to capture some of the optimism and the political action that they saw young people having in the 2008 elections. And they felt like, the album comes out in 2010, and I feel like they felt like that optimism and that activism was on the wane. And so how can you kind of capture that?
And of course, John Legend, as a singer, came from the gospel tradition. That's really where he was trained, where he began to sing. And the way he sings it is very much in that tradition.
So he's actually blending both Billy Taylor and Nina Simone's version in his song in order to both resonate with that tradition that he grew up with and also speak to the moment that we're in now.
I wish I could give all longing to give, and I wish I could live like I'm longing to live, and I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue, I'd be starting anew.
John Legend's version of I Wish I Knew, recorded in 2010. But was he right? Does this song work as a rallying cry for contemporary Americans? At the New York Jazz Workshop, just off Times Square in Manhattan, jazz vocal students and teachers Iris, Alexa, Faye, Elizabeth and Yvonne, a typical mix of New Yorkers, have come together to work on I Wish I Knew for the evening and do what they love best, singing.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me.
I have a granddaughter who will be 14 this month, and I think this song, even though it was written a while ago, is still very important now, because with my granddaughter as a young black girl, she still sees images that do not look like her, and she tries to live up to those images. So the concept of good hair, bad hair, and all that other stuff, that stuff is so ingrained into this society that although there have been freedoms won and steps have been made, in a lot of ways, we're still right where we were at when this song was created.
I wish I could give all I'm longing to give.
Part of the song that really resonates with me is the line, well, I wish I could be like a bird up in the sky. How sweet it would be if I found that I could fly. So the singing, I think, is sort of this idea that that's freeing. The whole idea that once you're actually singing, you are free. I guess the singing is sort of like a glimpse into what's possible, maybe. Yeah.
And I wish I could give all I'm longing to give.
it's still here. Yes, slavery was abolished, but I feel like it just changed forms, and certain things are still used against people to keep us oppressed, like the ghettos and the drugs and the guns and police brutality, and the system feels like it's against you. So this song, it still reaches out to the Black community. It's more intense, I feel like, the feeling of the song now. And like 100 years from now, it'll probably still be the same thing.
I would know how it feels.
Yes, I would know
how it feels.
We're not fighting anymore for what we believe in. Because if you just go back to the 60s and you go back to all those protests against the war, I mean, why are people not in the streets now when your government is spying on you?
Oppression has like become more invisible and feels more natural, and those in power have become more clever at hiding inequality and by making things like more complicated and complex.
To be free, how it feels to be free.
The song is actually most powerful, looking back at it now, 50 years later, insofar as it reminds us of this rich, you know, multi-hundred-year-old legacy of a Black everyday musical practice that is both realistic, full of pain, full of possibility, and in a sense creates its own hopeful disposition.
Tricia Rose is professor of Africana Studies at Brown University, Rhode Island. Does she think the optimism of Billy Taylor's composition can still be found in contemporary American society?
As many philosophers have argued, you know, freedom is partly a state of mind, right? There are many people who have managed to stay both healthy and to stay hopeful under conditions that make no sense to produce health and hope. And yet, we are able as human beings to do it. Part of it is very much what is the story we have available that we can tell about ourselves that creates resilience. It doesn't deny the suffering, it doesn't deny the chains, you know, in this case, but it says, I'm going to figure out how to be whole despite these conditions. Not going to be in denial, but I'm going to be whole despite it. That is really a technique of not just survival, but of transcendence that I think African-American culture has been genius at producing.
Is there anything like that now in American music that has the same effect?
Well, I mean, I think if you go to churches and spoken word events where people are in their own institutions, unselfconsciously representing and speaking about themselves, yes, you see that all the time. I mean, first of all, many spirituals and gospel songs still populate everyday Black life in a profound way. Ironically, although people speak to the civil rights movement as being this really wonderful, positive moment, I think American society is really fascinated with and strangely obsessed with Black rage and Black unialism. And so it markets Black death much more profoundly than it markets the opportunities and freedoms and love ethic of Black culture.
Your own poem right after this song. Cool?
It is a song of its time, but it still provides inspiration today. In downtown New York at the New York and Poetry Cafe, Mahogany Brown, the host for the night's National Poetry Competition, is on stage.
And it begins with a quote, I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I work at alternative prison programs. I work at alternative high schools where it's, you know, the school pipeline to prison. And this is the poem that came from being me and being inspired by Nina Simone. Today, I am a Black woman in America, and I am singing a melody written lullaby. I am a Black woman in a hopeless state, country, space. I will apply for financial aid and food stamps with the same mouth I spit poems from. I will ask the angels of a creative God to lessen the blows, and I will beg for forgiveness when I curse the rising sun, because today I am a Black woman in a body of coal. I am always a patch of smolder dancing, and no one knows my name. I am a nameless fury. I am a blues scratch from the throat of Miss Nina. I am always angry, always alive. I am always a bumble hive of hello. Today I am a woman, a brown and black and brew woman, dreaming of a freedom song that will ring endlessly. Today I am a mother, and the world is burning like a southern lawn, or a young girl's bra, or a black man's hood, or a church with four girls that look just like me. On days like today, I forget how to flee from such a flamboyant backdraft. I am too in awe of how beautiful I look on fire.
I Wish I Knew still has a sublime power in its simplicity. It contains a dream of freedom repeated three times like a magic spell. In Nina Simone's 1976 performance, it's a wish that is finally granted.
I'm free!
She knew that in all great freedom songs, it's in the interpretation and in every performance that new inspiration and meaning is found.
Anything I know how it feels to be free.
This program was produced and presented by Candice Piett as part of the BBC World Service's season on freedom in 2014.